Friendly Geordie's podcast, festive edition that has so little to do with Santa Claus. That'll be the last time we mention him.
Do you think Santa Claus gets up in the morning and goes, "Let us remember, one book, one pen, one child, and one teacher can change the world"? That's a crap. Thanks, Malala Yousafzai.
The reason why Miss Love is reading out the comments of who I can only assume is someone in Africa that has a mural painted about them. That's it. I bet you most Africans don't know who that person is. Is because we've decided that for the rest of this very short podcast...
I've got to go to work. So we're doing a short... And how much is that a part of... I guess that's a very sort of 1950s Italian-American man with a big family trying to feed them, but also into inspirational quotes sort of thing. Like, one must find themselves before they find the other. And I'm like, I got to go down to the chain mail so we can eat pasta this week. Yeah. So it's a very real sort of...
We're at a great time because it's definitely those guys, that Italian guy that made it in the past would have one quote that he knows from, I guess...
From his like Pepe.
Hoover, President Hoover.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. He's probably got like Teddy Roosevelt one thing in his mind as he's like getting the black lung.
So we're and we're inspiring you to cut squid for the next 10 hours. Getting you excited about it, myself.
Exactly. I woke up, I have my little book that I use for inspirational quotes from time to time. It's basically my organization book, but I also have one. It's basically, do this, do this, do this. And there's one page being like, you're great. And
with a whopping 5 quotes in
five.
It. Just sums almost up to your second hand.
Sums my life up so well. How much have you done? Heaps. 5 dot points. But of course I have a compadre here who's extremely successful and also really likes Tony Robbins. So
this is what I'm saying. Everyone's always paying him out in his books. Yeah. For going, I can't believe that he quotes himself in his own books.
Does he?
He deserves it.
Yeah.
His quotes are better than the greatest human beings of our time. Because think about it. That guy has just synthesized all of their ideas and then sat there for 30 years going, what's even more inspirational?
Yeah. I thought, you know what I thought you were going to say? I thought you were going to say he's synthesized all of their ideas for 30 years and then like he synthesized them into brown cargo pants.
You thought I was going to say that.
I just assumed you. Yeah, I just thought you were going to say that. But yeah, basically, we're going to do...
It's just such a mystery. Why do you only have 5 inspirational quotes in your book of inspirational quotes, Miss Love? I thought your next line was going to be cargo pants, man.
There is some wisdom in the wavy, oversized pants of Tony Robbins as much as there is in his mind.
I can just click any... click any of them.
Well, we've only got about 40 minutes here, but this is a power pod. It's no like mystery that Jordan is into his self-help, and I'm just getting into it. But for me, it's more about the undeniable immediacy of language, or you know, basically a quote that can inspire you, even if you're not expecting it.
Yeah, you want to wake up every morning with just that little bar in that song, Goodness Gracious, Great Balls of Fire. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. So we've got a few here. We'll bounce some off each other and just explore them.
You sit
them.
There and groove on it.
You sit there and groove. I mean, put it this way. It's a lot better, even if you're not into self-help or if it's something that you... And I'm very new to it, but...
And if you aren't into self-help, what's the bet that you have heaps of acne?
God wants
me to fail.
Yeah. But
and he does.
In the very...
There's no hope for you. No, you're not allowed to purchase any clearer cell. You wear that as a mark.
In the very... Jesus. In the very least, at least you're listening to this. On the chance that you never listen to this kind of stuff, at least you're listening to this rather than Ben Shapiro being really, mad about stuff. This is definitely going to help your life more. Or that annoying guy. What is it? John Oliver?
I don't think that's... that's what I think John our Oliver. Audience would be more into.
Yeah.
He's so smart. He's got glasses and a British accent.
Yeah, exactly. And he raises his eyebrows, which means he must be shocked by what he's saying.
And he's really shit at accents. So he must be smart.
Yeah, this is going to help you out. Guaranteed. Maybe it'll turn your life around. Maybe. It just might. If this turns one person's life around...
I mean, the simple fact is that John Oliver looks like a parrot, and I'm pretty sure that Tony Robbins could eat him in a single bite with his mighty jaw.
You know that
he should be listening to Tony.
You know that Tony would just breathe out, which I assume would be very loud, just... And then he would just go, oh, whoa, whoa, and then just fly off into the Hollywood Hills.
Yes, and get out a little shitty Mary Poppins umbrella and go, I meant for this to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's kick it off.
Yeah.
See, this is why Tony Robbins is definitely up there with the likes of Einstein, Michelangelo, Cauchy. All the greats.
Cauchy, I just don't think you should be so mean to feminists, Milo. Well, I think you're...
Inspirational quote of the day. Don't be so mean, Milo.
Yeah, inspirational quote of the day. The blonde chick that sits next to him. Here's the cash cow. Cash cow for this week. God, my
coach... How can anyone get news from a source that has a guy... in the cheapest cow outfit you could possibly get, dancing with money.
If there's one thing to glean from this episode, even if it's none of the inspirational quotes, is that don't watch that show. I reckon
that'll put you on the right path.
To life. The cash cow...
What we're saying is definitely watch the Today Show.
The cash cow is definitely a terrorist. Anyway, he's waiting. Or she.
That would be genius. That would be so glorious. The whole time. I just really hope that no one gets hurt. But I really hope that Sunrise gets exploded by the cash cow. Yeah.
Can you imagine? And then it explodes, all the cash rains down on wherever it is, Wynyard.
Yes.
Wynyard is just in a sea of
cash.
And
the headline
on the little thing. It's like Dow down 2%.
And
just
then the
like,
next one is just cow jumps over the moon. Blasting off again.
Oh, God.
Anyway, now that we've just fantasized about a massive terrorist attack in the middle of Sydney.
Jesus. That's what self-help does to you.
All right. So
you want explosions in real life and of your mind.
Tony Robbins, this is quote.
Yeah.
No matter how many mistakes you make or how slow your progress, you're still way ahead of everyone who isn't trying.
Dude, I am actually writing that one in my book. It's going to take it to 6. That one is great because every time you're in a scenario, and especially anyone who's creative out there, anyone that probably lives in Surrey Hills. In fact, if you don't live in Surrey Hills, I don't want to hear about it because you're probably not more creative than someone from the North Shore. It's just a fact. So if you're from Surrey Hills and you're really creative, there are times where you're just like, if things take time and they're, especially in my scenario, they're somewhat out of your hands, you get let down or you don't feel motivated to hear that because you don't feel like you're being active. But if you hear that, you're like, wait a second, I'm doing things and trying. That's more than half the people are doing.
It's not even that. There's another great quote that it reminds me of, which is that if you turn up for the job interview, you're ahead of 90% of the applicants.
Wow.
Isn't
that...
There's a very small amount of people that actually try.
It's true. God, I'd never thought about... Is that true?
Well, think about the musicians that you know. How many of them are actually putting in a consolidated effort as opposed to sitting there and going, have you heard the niggas Queen of the Stone Age album? Personally, I think that it's worse than the second one. I really don't think that the drums are as professionally recorded as the one before. You're a slug. You're not a human being. All you do is sit there and think that your worthless opinion is as good as anything that the Queens of the Stone Age have ever done. Even their shitty little things that they first did when they didn't even have like a drum, right? They just had pots and pans as a 2-year-old. They are better than you. 2-year-old Queens of the Stone Age is better than you as a fully grown adult. I'm sorry, but that is amazing.
It's amazing because finally, it's so funny you say that because I came to this profound realization only a few years ago. How pathetic is that? At the extremely young age of 26, I figured out that and maybe this is a bit extreme, but any time postulating or pondering or theorizing or intellectualizing on, and this is from coming from a perspective of someone that's trying to be a productive, creative person. That's the goal. I'm not trying to be an academic. I'm not trying to be a music critic. So that is my goal, right? If that's my goal, any time spent, as you said, being like, do you think the production of the fourth album was better than the third? Because they really let me down, personally. They personally owe me everything. I take it... To say I take it personally is an understatement.
I said that I like them, right? I'm really invested in this, more than they are.
More than they are. What legacy? I'm involved in their legacy as much as they are. So basically...
Wouldn't be a legacy without me. I like them.
Anytime that happens, and I'm in a scenario, whether it's... And I do it sometimes, whether it's me or somebody else, where they're stuck in that mode, I've realized that any time doing that, apart from possibly listening to something on an iPod in the as you're driving and theorizing on the music as you're listening to it, fine, maybe a little bit after as you're pondering, and then it might inspire you, these ideas, those ideas. But if you spend, if that's like, you know, 80% of your time, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's the biggest trap of all. The trap of like... Fetishizing your idols and making them gods and sort of making them untouchable, and then as well as that, not doing things enough, just not being active enough, and
it's always the case. I mean,
it's horrible.
As I've just said in a recent video in my new self-help channel, Jordan Shanks, which has a picture of Marshall Silver, because everyone's always saying that all self-help gurus are big snake oil salesmen. I totally disagree, but I definitely think that Marshall Silver is a fucking snake oil salesman.
Is that the old guy that occasionally is like, you know who to vote this time, because... If you vote, one party will take all your money by high taxes and one will leave you alone. But I'm not going to say who.
You mean our janitor?
Don't lock the door. If you lock the front door, you're as bad as Hitler. That's what our desk lady told us.
If there is a fire here, I want you to get trapped in it and die.
Also,
go down with the ship. Also, be a man.
Also, I cannot stress enough. Don't fucking touch the pavlova in the fridge. Okay, did you make it? Oh, I certainly did not make it. How much did you pay for it? $3.50. Yep, your morals are in order. But
let us eat the damn pavlova that we didn't pay any money for.
Well,
I want to be the wolf in Chicken Little.
Isn't that strange? Because the fact... This is a task for another podcast, but me and you eating that pavlova would be one of the satisfying things in the whole world, and it would cost us $3.50.
It would be so much
$3.50. If I was extremely rich, I would just set up scenarios like that.
Think about how far we've come, Mislav. We were the kids in high school that were, I guess it's fair to say that we're more seagull than human.
I think that was our whole year, dude. Is that, are they pizza shapes? Yeah. Give them to me! you just ask at least. No!
It's always the case in high school. Anyone who is not extremely overweight is a seagull. That's all that exists in high school, isn't there? Fat cunts and seagulls.
100%.
So we were obviously seagulls.
Yeah.
Because we kept trim.
Yep.
The way we were kept trim is instead of drinking a whole bottle of Coke, we sat there just flocking around one fat dude going, please, just a sip. I haven't tasted the new Coke before. I've tasted vanilla Coke.
I'm having an out of body experience right now. That is literally what it was. Just give us a sip. That we said that we repeated that line more in our minds than the study for the HSC.
Oh, for sure.
Than Tassel Tasmanian salmon. Give us a sip. Just give us a sip. Don't be a dick, Head.
We're not university material. We're just scavengers.
Absolutely.
But how much better is Tony Roberts than anyone who has ever gone, just a sip, I haven't had a sip?
Absolutely. Now, so, I'll give
we've
you...
gone so far that now that we're saying, oh my God, $3.50 for a pavlova, who cares? Now, that's success, ladies and gentlemen.
It's as opposed... Exactly.
Yeah.
That's, if that isn't, if the proof isn't in the pudding, or rather the pavlova, then... What more proof can we give you?
When we used to fantasize as much about buying a $2.20 bottle of Coke as we did about having sex with hot chicks in our year.
It's so fucking true. Here's one for you. And you just told me this one earlier. This is Tony Robbins as well. Sorry.
Is it?
We should be reading this out to the janitor because maybe we can improve her life from... Okay. I think she might hear me. Just turned off
the... I'm pretty scared about that. She just turned off the vacuum cleaner.
Okay, so Tony Robbins.
Turn on that Hoover, you lazy cow. This isn't for you. You don't get any help.
God's delays are not denials. Come on.
Just let me rephrase that. It is God's delays are not God's denials.
Oh, sorry. God's delays are not God's denials. I'll just add the gods.
Make sure you do.
Every
word is important.
Absolutely. I mean, if you think about it, if there, I don't know if I should say, because this is a personal look into your life. I won't, but I'm sure that the audience will pick up on a relevant of that. If you are at a point where you have no hope, and I'm not talking about like an Eminem song, I'm just talking about like throwing it all away and getting a job at Mitre 10, because that's pretty much suicide anyway.
That little bottle, though, you're so right.
Yeah.
Anything that has a lot of O's in it, and you, have to you throw your life away.
There's a scientific, mathematic way I could prove that. Like, I guarantee you there's a Einstein equation that's just like, the more O's in an Australian company conglomerate's name, the more depressed you will be. It's just true. But if you are in that point where you're like, going to throw it all away and be like, Bunnings is the only answer... God's delays are not God's denials. I mean, if there's one thing that's going to keep you hanging on, it's got to be that.
Help me. In so many moments, there was the dark ages of Friendly Jordans, right?
Where I didn't where know it was I was gonna Jordan's autistic cousin being filmed at a really low angle with a camera that was worse quality than he has now somehow.
How is that possible? Going,
John, do you how's your day been? Yeah, John Marks, or whatever his name was, Dr.
Uncle
John.
Jono's.
Uncle Jono's. Yeah, he's just real deep. Like, yeah, you like my earring? Yeah, touch the front of my calves. Yeah. Please subscribe now. Come on.
That wasn't the dark ages. That was like just before the Roman Empire collapsed. Yeah, that was
true.
The golden ages.
You're right. I apologize. Those were the that was the Enlightenment. That was, yeah, that was the Enlightenment. Okay. Well, pre that, when Jordan was in his undies, his dad going, "Hey, do the dishes. I have." And do them again. They're not clean enough. And just sitting in his room.
That
covered,
shit, I'm smashing all the dishes in.
Covered it, his room covered with inspirational quotes. Did it work?
Yes. This is, look, you remember one of our friends coming in who nickname at school was Fat Goth. So we're all expecting great things from this man. And we weren't mistaken. Thought he was Jesus for a while. Had to be put into a psychotic ward. Tried to hit on one of our girlfriend's friends, and then like when the guy confronted him about it, said, "I don't know what your problem is, man. I don't know what I've done wrong here. Why are you being so angry? Why don't you want to hang out with me anymore?" Put up a band that all the members quit, and now has to record all of it together. Miss Love's telling me to shut up, but nonetheless, we're going forward with this.
We're pushing on.
Once the truth is out, it cannot be put back in. I'm sure it's not like a genie.
I'm sure Tony Robbins would have a quote about it.
And so, yeah, he went to my house once, and then he was saying to Miss Love afterwards, "You have no idea how much I think Jordan is an axe murderer." Which, first off, very rich coming from someone whose nickname was Fat Dog. But second off, those quotes kept me on focus, kept me on task through the times when, you know, I had no idea how I was going to pay my editors, no idea how I was going to pay my staff, No idea how I was even going to... I didn't even know where the next meal was coming from. You know, really, really poor.
That is so inspirational hearing. Like, those stories where you hear people that were legitimately like that. Like, Steve Jobs isn't inspiring to me. I was a millionaire then, and now I'm slightly richer. How'd you get your ideas? I stole it from the military. Like, that is inspiring. That isn't inspiring to me, but...
I yelled at eggheads to build me things.
Yeah, yeah. But, like... any story where someone's down and out, legitimately, and then made it from that is awesome. And the fact that you did that is crazy, dude. Like, the amount of people that would be in that scenario and wouldn't get out of it, wouldn't pull themselves out of it and be successful. I mean, I don't even blame them, really, because it's hard. It's probably, it has to be the most testing thing you can do, especially if you're trying to make it in a creative field. It has to be.
That's it. This is what I love about self-help. It keeps pushing your mind to think beyond your immediate circumstances. Think for something bigger.
You have
just go hungry. How many spoons do you need?
I would say, not only would I agree with that, I would say that it's like most of the psychology of being a creative person. It's more than half the battle. I mean, creative people, you and I, and funnily enough, there's a few quotes from a few bands that I really respect that are extremely hardworking people. Mm. One is Queens of the Stone Age.
And the other one is definitely Limp Bizkit.
No! It's the guy from...
Who could forget the Wiggles.
There's a few... Well, fair enough. But there's a few bands, but one of them... I mean, there's a whole bunch, but there was one quote that was... It wasn't even an inspirational quote. It was just something about how, as a musician, and I would say you're exactly the same, we're just time travelers. We're never living in the present. Our audience is always four steps behind because that's how it goes. And the further you are ahead, usually the more successful you're going to be and the better your content because you're thinking about it. If you're planning something and working on it for the amount of time where you are sick of it, but you're satisfied and you're certain or reasonably certain and you release it and your audience thinks it's amazing. That's what you are. You're just really crapped
Doctor Who's.
Yeah, Doctor Who's. We're really crap Doctor Who's. We're really crap those guys who go great because we're always thinking about, we're always in the future, and you have to be. And it's kind of a curse, but it's the price. It's the price you pay.
Which is...
Yeah.
The next quote, which is...
What is it?
Well, it's... I can't remember who it was. It was some oil tycoon.
Oh, yes.
Built himself out of the Great Depression, who was one of those paper boys on the side of New York going, extra, extra, read all
yes.
about it.
Yeah. Great Depression. Like, yeah. 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 The stock market... Like, stock market crashes 3.5%. If you want mutton and bread... The lines are really long now.
Extra, extra, read all about it. The furthest that medical science will ever go is the dance, the 23 Skidoo. If the 23 Skidoo can't cure you, you're going to die.
And I'll be damned if that's not the only cure I want. You've got, imagine me now, you've got nymph cancer. Well, I'll just do the 23 Skidoo. I don't think that's going to cut it. Listen here, bucko. You're not one of those queers who voted yes, are you?
Look, you're not one of those alternative medicine doctors, are you, that does the little Charlie Chaplin dance with the two spuds and a fork?
No, give me it. Give me the quote.
So it is, there's only two steps to success in any field. One, figure out what the price of success is. Two, pay that price.
Oh,
always,
man.
Remember that the price is usually very, very large.
Far out.
And that's why most people don't commit to it. It was another quote that I was reading in my book of inspirational quotes that I'm pretty sure is from John Gray, who has such large top teeth and very small bottom ones. He's got a reverse bulldog's face.
You've just summed up 67% of self-help gurus.
Yeah, why have they got such huge buck teeth all the time?
Because they chomp through life. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It must be that if you're an extremely inspirational human being, your dad's a beaver.
I'm going to be writing that one down too, because that one essentially says, realize that it won't be, that it's going to cost a lot, whatever that is, guaranteed. It will cost a lot, whether it's money, time, frustration. I mean, it is the price.
Look, it's always that down and out moment, and that's what always kept me going. Was Tony Robbins is going, I've been around the world and studied success my entire life. The steps of somebody succeeding, it's always the same. It's always when it looks its absolute darkest, when they're about to quit, but they push on. It's like lifting weights. Where does all the growth come if you're doing 10 reps? In the 11th rep!
That is incredible! That is incredible. So he's saying consistently throughout all his travels, which I assume would be mainly Los Angeles and in a helicopter, he has seen...
Always with Tom Cruise.
I love him so much too. I love him so much too. That time when you jumped up on the couch in that episode of Oprah... I knew what you were going for there, and it really inspired me. You were just
made
happy.
Me realize I can fuck up my couch too.
And then it just cuts to his couch, and there's dog shit smeared on it.
That's because of you, Tom.
You inspired me that I also need to get more pushy, and they should be young, like the chick you were fucking at the time.
Was it Katie Holmes that looked surprisingly like a girl in our high school called Romy Kane, except for dead? Inspirational.
I'm so sick of falling into that trap of paying out Tony Robbins. It's just, you know what most of it is of
what?
Why he's like made fun of so much?
Why?
It's because he's giant. Yeah. And he has...
And he talks like their son.
Yeah.
His esophagus is made out of sandpaper. That's the reason people hate him.
He's that tough. So what you're saying is he's statistically shown that... The people that are successful are the ones that were down and out and just pushed on. Is that what you're saying?
Always, because when you're going...
I got a question for you. What do you think has been the biggest comeback for someone that's extremely successful? Someone that comes to mind is maybe Kyle from Kyle and Jackie, because he was homeless. But who do you think what was the lowest of the lows that someone in the history of humankind has been that has bounced back the same amount, like it been very successful? And I'm not talking about like Steve Jobs or something. And I'm not talking about someone that's been really low and has come back and been like, I did it. I made a really, really yum egg sandwich. That doesn't count. It has to be something really mad.
Well, this is the point.
Do you have a few that have in mind?
This is where you get that nuanced approach to life, right? Where this is my personal philosophy.
Yeah.
That you have to be socially right-wing. I mean, sorry, socially left-wing and personally right-wing.
Okay.
I think that the philosophy of right-wing ideology, that's why they're usually right on social issues, where they're just like, it's police brutality against black people.
I get what you're saying.
No, you're just a little bitch.
It's this whole
thing.
Look
at the stats. You're not a fucking victim. Shut up.
It's the whole thing about victim mentality. It's that the left is willing to accept being a victim, and the very nature of being a victim means defeated. That's the nature of the word.
You get pride out of being a loser.
To be defeated, and also very closely linked to that is being owed things. And that is mad about conservative people. Like, the world doesn't owe you anything. If anything, you owe the world. And it's like, that does garner and harness
It nurtures the human spirit.
It does.
It actually encourages the human spirit as opposed to just making a kind of
Holy shit, it does. I thought, as you said that, I was like, no, that's probably overdone. But then it sunk in. It's like, that is completely accurate and completely true.
And
it
look,
nurtures the human
is,
spirit yeah. because it kind of like gives you a whack and you go, ow. But then you just are forced to grow. It's like when Nelson Mandela did like 30 years and was like the happiest man in jail. It's like, it's a psychological game. Just convince yourself you're mad. Like, just do it. Just like, and it might be hard, but you just have to keep doing it. Keep convincing yourself. And like, there, in the very least, you will get more results out of what you're trying to get than just being a victim. Hey.
Exactly. Because it's that same principle that 80% of anything that you endeavor upon is a psychological battle.
Yeah.
It's basically just being able to train yourself to stick it out as opposed to cry and give up.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I understand that there's a million caveats to that from studying politics and governance, you know. So, for instance, if you grow up in a poor area, it's not impossible that you won't be a massive success. Harder. It's way harder to begin with. And that's no excuse.
Yeah.
but the thing is that if you, again, that thought of if you grow up in a shit area with shit parents and you go to a shit school, where are you going to learn this? Where are you going to learn this information?
That's
most
true.
Of the people, like what we were looking at when we were on radio and we were talking about the Dark Ages, which is basically Game of Thrones. This is what happened on Move FM.
Without drag. Yeah, you have to tell them.
So we were discussing the Dark Ages.
It was Game of Thrones without dragons. Literally, that's what it was. The dragons are annoying in that show anyway.
It's just a bullshit little, I hate how she sits here and goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, that's right, I've got three dragons.
I know.
What are you talking about?
Every
you're the
time.
Character because you have dragons.
Exactly.
Everyone else has to think.
Yes. The mother of dragons.
You just have nukes.
Yeah.
You're the ancient world's nukes.
It's true. But what happened was we dared, you know, we love the mountains, we love our audience, but Christ, the ones that profile pics are guys with Oakleys on and dabbing on a giant oak tree that has probably lived, let's say realistically six times longer than that guy will live by a millennium. Like that guy is who's being let down, and it's like
that guy was right here going, stop putting on boy shoes. And then there was a guy that had the it's okay to vote no banner, which, you know, respect your opinion, but it's kind of old news at this point.
It's over.
Give up.
And also
that it's okay to vote no guy just wrote at the bottom and wrote at the bottom of that, they sham like a couple of poofs.
Yeah,
you know, like, okay, that guy, I've got to say, I like way more than anyone I've ever met in Surry Hills. And if I had dragons, I would just blow it on Surry Hills and let that guy do it.
Yeah, okay, I'll pay that too. But what I'm trying to say is if anyone listens to this pod and goes to social events, weddings, bar mitzvahs, christenings, what have you, in a suit that's from Lowe's and is at least one to two sizes too big, stop listening. Buy a suit that fits you. It's not more expensive. Like, what? Are you that lazy? I'm going to get four shades of Oatleys, whatever the fuck they're called, sunglasses. It'll cost me $400, but I can't splash out an extra $60 on a suit that fits me.
Stop fucking wearing Oakleys in a shaded area.
Why?
Can't.
They're so big. Like, just, okay.
And why are they so green?
I don't want to be Gavin McInnes here, like hipster giving you know, style tips here to our audience. But if you're unsure about wearing sunnies, right? You're not sure, I don't know, you're from the western suburbs, which is fine. I don't give a shit. Good on you. But if you're not sure about what like, you're going for, what style you're going for, just get Ray-Bans. If they were classic in the 50s, then they'll do. Anyway, but we're getting sidetracked here.
You look like a human rat as soon as you put on Oakleys.
Yeah, you do.
You look like one of those
your
creatures
IQ
that I'm really
goes
glad
down.
That you... Yeah, thank you.
I bet, like, as much as they'll figure out that, like, because this is how retarded nutrition is these days. As much as they'll, as sure it is that they'll figure out that avocados give you cancer in the future, I am sure that they'll figure out there's a correlation between Oakleys
and
diminishing your IQ.
Less than a participation in the basic skills.
The asterisks. Yeah. I have to go and cut squids in a couple of minutes. What are we going to close with? I mean, if there's anything...
We'll just go to that inspirational point, right? Which is just that, like, you should be personally right-wing, socially left-wing in that, yes, look, how are those people going to come across this information to begin with? Mm. Where are they going to get the self-esteem to get it? On top of that, you know, environmental issues... animal rights issues. The left has it right on a lot of other things.
Oh, absolutely. Global warming.
Yes.
I was basically...
But when you're thinking about yourself and you adopt... Look, this is honestly how I think it goes.
Yeah.
Someone who is personally right-wing and socially left-wing, God's people. Someone who is personally right-wing and socially right-wing, not as good, one down.
Yeah.
But I honestly much prefer them than socially left-wing and personally left-wing people. They're just complaining cunts that live in Newtown and go, I can't afford my house rent. Yeah. Why don't you move out to Lithgow then, eh? Telegraph was right.
It's true.
You little bitch.
Dude. Hey, the Telegraph was right. Lithgow's mad. Like, I still love...
Obviously, the absolute bottom rung is someone who is socially right-wing and personally left-wing.
So someone who's just off the government
and is also selling to everyone else. Just, I don't think that we should be funding disabled people care. I don't know why we should be funding that.
Wait, you mean someone that's denying global warming and is just like...
And is on the dole.
Yeah.
So they're the worst people, but this is the
yes.
In terms of personal scale,
I don't know. I kind of like them more than the other one, the left wing.
I mean, they're funnier.
Exactly.
but they're funny because they're.
You can't be that. You can't be that. I don't think you can be anti-global warming and be like, poor me. It just doesn't happen. If you're anti-global warming, you're just like, if someone punches you in the face randomly, they go, "Ow! I probably deserve that for some reason." Good on you.
No, it's not that. It's like, I respect your right to free speech.
You've got to be against global warming.
You have to be that.
They usually go
punching
hand in hand.
Is a form of speech.
Yeah.
So anyway, Tony Robbins always uses this example of Oprah Winfrey.
Oh, okay. Oh, she came
sexually abused by her father from like 8 to 13 or something.
Wow.
I think she left home and then she was homeless.
Came
from poor southern area, like in the days where there was actual racial
segregation. Yeah,
how she got to where she is
that's
pure
amazing.
Miracle.
Amazing. That's a great story.
And how did look at her content. Look at what her content is. All it is self-help.
Yeah,
she's just really easy, digestible housewife.
That's
level
true.
Self-help.
How did she do it?
Self-help.
Tony Robbins.
Not Tony Robbins, because Tony Robbins wasn't around at that time.
Just like that old guy who was just like, yeah, the stock market's doing well.
Yeah, those kind of... Anyone that you ever see that's got a black and white photo of them and then in Times New Roman a small quote on the side that has like a... Always has like, a man's greatest desire is what he should pursue.
Yeah. Like really old school shit.
So she just filled her mind with that. That's what got her from that position to that.
Amazing.
It's always the same that you see in every scenario. It's basically just fostering and nurturing that level of belief in yourself.
Yeah.
So that you can just keep every time that you get a knockback, you just keep walking.
Yeah.
That's all it boils down to. And everyone goes, yeah, it's really simple to do. Yeah, but if you don't have the psychology, the really, really hard to nurture psychology of that, you just intellectually understand it. You don't actually plow through the setbacks.
Yeah. It's making it a habit, you have to get it into your subconscious. So instead of constantly doubting yourself, at least some of the time, you have that stuff. It would have a profound effect.
That's it. Because the whole time, while I was poor, while I was out, while I didn't know how I was going to pay my editors, when I was just by myself and just yelling in a neighborhood room and, you know, there was like people like Will and shit like that were just being like, what an idiot.
Yeah.
In that moment, when no one was there and it was just me, there was no doubt in my mind that one day I was going to be successful. No doubt. And you know why? Because of self-help. But then when I see all these other people that they have these dreams and every single time they go, yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if it's going to, I don't know if that's going to happen. They don't have the psychology.
The will. Yeah, exactly.
They don't have the psychology because they didn't keep reading these quotes. They didn't fill their room with inspirational quotes. So every time they're sitting there and going, I have no money in my bank account. And everyone's yelling at me to get a job and shit like that. There wasn't all these things sitting there just being like, you can achieve anything.
I've got to go cut the guts out of dead animals, but I think...
Give him hell.
I think part two of this pod, when we do it eventually, should be... Because I just had this idea, and I don't know if you agree, but I think we could do a whole pod on it. How there's this permissive, pseudo-romantic, postmodern... defeatist sort of public lexicon in the Western world, in the modern day, that says, no, it's really hard. This, you know, it's just, you know, everyone says dream big, but they say don't, you know, don't follow that with diligence though. Yeah, dream big, but what about when you hit it? You know what I mean? Don't be too proud, and also self-help's bullshit, and also, you know, defeatism is rewarded.
Because it's this classic thing of jealousy, right? So everyone shits on you while you're down, and in fact, if you sit there and say, I'm so depressed and I'm a victim, everyone goes, oh, I understand. Life's hard, isn't it? They reward you for being a little bitch.
Exactly.
But they don't reward you when you're out there kicking ass.
Exactly.
That's when they start pulling you down. And, then, and as soon as that started happening to me, everyone's just like, he's privileged, little piece of shit. And
they'll do anything. Dude, they'll do anything.
I came from a working class background with single parents. I wasn't sexually abused and I wasn't in fucking 1994 Rwanda. I understand that there's way worse people in life, but I was not privileged.
Yeah. And it is, you know, it is
I was privileged to be in Australia. I understand. And I'm really grateful for all of these outlet things and things. Dude, not handed things on a silver platter. You know, I had to actually go out there and get these things. And then as soon as you get there, everyone goes, he was just lucky. He was privileged from the beginning. All this shit. They've got all these excuses to dismiss you. And it's mostly about them. It's mostly about them sitting there and saying, in justifying in their minds why they suck, basically.
Yeah, and it is really strange that, like, it's so strange, but if you're trying to make it, it's almost like people automatically be like, oh, look at you, Mr. Creative, oh, I'm going to make it. It's like, people automatically assume that you think you're better than them or that you're trying to, like, you have a big ego. And it's like, for me personally, it's like, I want to prove that, like, that's, first of all, that's not true, but second of all, that's justified. It's crazy. Like, if it's like, on a timeline of, like, success at the beginning, pretty much, and like, 70% of the timeline, it's like, people hate you, people are cunts, people think it's not going to work out, people hate you, they don't play, and it's like, if you have any level of success, it's like, oh, okay, there's a switch here. Everyone loves you. That's it.
For a few months. And then they get sick of you,
right?
And then they start tearing you down, and then the rest of your career is just constantly proving yourself. It never stops.
Right.
It just, the stakes get bigger. And again, it's the same thing of, do you have the mindset to deal with
it?
And the other thing that's really weird, obviously I'm not on the same level of fame as Oprah Winfrey and stuff, but even I'm one down. One down. I'm bigger than Dr. Phil, let's put it that way. But even on my little shitty level, right, it does things to your head.
Yeah, it would.
And again, there's all these things that self-help prepares you for, of remaining humble, remaining grateful.
That's mad. I'm just not there yet. I'm like at a point where it's like I'm in the early stages, but it's cool.
But it's cool because I see the mindset shift in you, right? And I see that it's at that stage where now you've got the right psychology for success.
I do, dude. I have, like, the tools.
Because before, I remember you saying, I've said it a million times to you off air, but just so everyone knows the progression. When I first started talking to Mislove about this, and I was saying, what's going on with the band and stuff, and he was going, oh, it's all because of connections, man. That's the reason why I'm fucked and stuff. Then I started introducing him to Tony Robbins and things, and now his mindset is like, oh, fuck, man, I haven't got my EP out yet. Fuck, I'm a lazy cunt.
That's right!
That's exactly. Where you're supposed to be.
Exactly.
It's your fault. It's exactly. Not everyone else's
exactly.
fault. No one's going to give you any favors.
Exactly.
No one's ever coming to. Dude, this quote. No one's coming to rescue you.
That's awesome.
That's what we should finish on.
Yeah.
No one's
let's just
coming
close on.
To rescue
let's
you.
Just close on that. I mean, that just pumped me up again. And yeah, let's just close on that. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Merry Christmas.